strange noises erupted from a second grader's throat. Sharp barks, rhythmic whoops, guttural sounds he couldn't silence no matter how hard he tried. Teachers glared. Classmates giggled, then scattered. His father fumed, convinced these disruptions were deliberate acts of defiance. But Brad Cohen wasn't misbehaving. His body had become a stranger to him, producing involuntary movements and sounds that isolated him from the world he desperately wanted to join. Growing up in 1980s St. Louis, Brad lived inside a paradox. His energy wasn't typical childhood restlessness. It was frantic, uncontrollable, accompanied by facial twitches and vocalizations that mystified everyone around him. After his parents divorced, his father dismissed these behaviors as attention-seeking, creating a painful distance during Brad's most vulnerable years. At Camp Sabra before fourth grade, his constant throat clearing amused other campers enough to earn him a Froggy Award. For a brief moment, being the funny kid felt better than being the weird one. This wasn't a story about overcoming disability through sheer willpower. It was about discovering that what makes us different might be exactly what the world needs most. When school resumed, Brad's tics, now including knee knocking and piercing barks, became impossible to hide. Teachers criticized him relentlessly. Classmates tormented him. His father's frustration intensified. Trapped in a cycle where stress worsened his tics, Brad found sanctuary on his Green Dragon bicycle, where he could make all the noise he wanted. The Jewish Community Center offered another refuge through sports, where his explosive energy became an asset. Despite daily humiliation, Brad cultivated a mischievous persona that suggested his symptoms were part of some elaborate joke. Fifth grade brought devastating escalation when a teacher forced him to apologize to the entire class and promise to stop, a promise his neurology made impossible to keep. This cruelty planted an unexpected seed, the determination to become the compassionate teacher he'd never had. The breakthrough came when his mother's friend discovered Tourette syndrome in a medical dictionary, leading to Brad's official diagnosis. Finally, his behavior had a name. But at a Tourette Syndrome Association meeting, they encountered adults with severe symptoms who'd surrendered to their condition. None attended public school, all were unemployed, living on disability. That night, Brad made a defining choice. He would not let Tourette's dictate his life. He reframed his challenges as choices rather than limitations. He couldn't attend movies during peak hours. He'd choose off-peak times when his barking wouldn't disturb others. This subtle shift from can't to choose became his survival strategy. Junior high was brutal. Lunchtime meant sitting alone while classmates mocked his kicks. The school nurse, witnessing his daily torment, invited him to eat lunch in her office, a small mercy that felt like salvation. The school bus brought relentless harassment from older kids. After one incident, Brad was placed in in-school suspension, where the no-noise rule was neurologically impossible for him to follow. His mother intervened forcefully, ensuring that punishment would never happen again. When his bar mitzvah approached, something remarkable happened. As he concentrated intensely on reading in English and Hebrew, his severe tics temporarily subsided, like snow melting on a warm winter afternoon. The ceremony revealed the intelligence behind those involuntary movements. The turning point came when Principal Bill Meyer decided to address Brad's condition before the entire junior high. As a 14-year-old, Brad stood before hundreds of students, explaining that Tourette's is a neurological disorder causing uncontrollable noises and tics. The students' applause signaled understanding rather than mockery. This moment planted the seed of his teaching career. He'd witnessed firsthand the power of education to transform fear into acceptance. High school brought unexpected transformation. Brad discovered that actively participating in class helped others become comfortable with his condition. The more he'd engaged, the more respect he earned. His life changed dramatically when he joined B'nai B'rith Youth Organization. As corresponding secretary, he made 30 phone calls before each event, a tedious job nobody wanted, but one that let members know him beyond his tics. After explaining his condition at a meeting, people became fascinated rather than judgmental. 3 months later, he delivered his first prepared speech about Tourette's to the entire St. Louis Council, then spoke at a regional convention in Omaha, educating over 100 people. These experiences brought validation and a rush of success that improved his friendships, schoolwork, self-esteem, and family relationships. College at Bradley University deepened his sense of community. When a restaurant employee threw him out, mistaking his tics for drunkenness, students rallied behind him, starting a boycott that made front-page news. He joined Alpha Epsilon Pi fraternity, where his Tourette's was never an issue, eventually becoming president. His education program gave him classroom experience from day one. With each new class, he'd educate the teacher first, then explain to students using his banana theory. You can't judge someone by their outside appearance, just as you can't judge a banana by its bruised peel. Fresh out of college in June 1996, Brad drove to Atlanta ready to begin teaching. What followed were 24 brutal rejections. One principal declared he couldn't see Brad as a teacher because his Tourette's would get in the way, claiming students would laugh and couldn't concentrate. When Brad cited his successful student teaching, the principal insisted the kids at his school would beat you up and advised him to refrain from making noises during class time. By summer's end, Brad was unemployed with eroding confidence. His tics worsened dramatically. Old ones resurfaced, his head twitched violently, physical exhaustion set in. The next morning, energized by determination, he visited 20 schools in one day. Just as he was about to nap, Jim Oveby from Mountain View Elementary called for an immediate interview. The interview lasted over 2 hours, long enough for Brad's tics to naturally decrease as he relaxed. Days later, the call came. They were offering him a second grade position. His stress-induced tics disappeared instantly. He had finally reached base camp on his own personal Mount Everest. Brad transformed his classroom into a joyful space with papier-mâché planets, Waffle the Rabbit, and a cozy reading couch. His silly tie-dyed hat became his trademark. Remarkably, he barely ticked while teaching. His passion crowded out neurological space for tics. In July of his first year, Brad won Georgia's Sallie Mae First Class Teacher of the Year Award. Accepting his glass prism in Washington, D.C., he realized his motivation came not from inspiring teachers, but from proving doubters wrong. Years later, former student Jacob Singer invited Brad to his bar mitzvah, calling him his hero who had given him confidence. Students like Jacob revealed teaching's true meaning, showing children how to succeed regardless of challenges. Brad's journey illuminates profound truth. Our greatest obstacles often contain our greatest gifts. He reframed Tourette's as friend rather than enemy, saying it gave him the challenges and personality that make me Brad. This shift from adversary to ally freed mental resources for growth. His banana theory helps students understand that, like banana varieties, people shouldn't be judged by external differences. Brad's Tourette's became what made him extraordinary, a teacher who understood every child's struggle. The noises that isolated him became the bridge to students who felt misunderstood. Your challenges aren't obstacles to overcome before living. They're raw material for your most meaningful contributions. The question isn't whether you'll face adversity, but whether you'll let it define you or refine you.